Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. You know, we've already been worshiping. You know, I was thinking this song service this morning, we all sing together, we worship together. Thy name we glorify, thy name we adore. You know, and I trust it's not just on Sunday morning we glorify and adore the name of Christ. You know, it's a little bit like our devotions maybe Sunday morning, during the weeks, in the mornings we have maybe our devotions or in the evenings. You know, but if that's all we have, our life is dry. Our Christian life is an all-day experience. We walk it out. When we go to work, our Christian life follows us. You know, that's when our Christian life is really tested, is when we go to work. When we're driving down the road and somebody cuts us off, or things happen, or we get taken advantage of, how do we take those things? That's when our Christian life becomes real. You know, it's a blessing to be here like this morning, to see each other and to encourage one another. I feel a little bit, I'm about half sick myself, about half my family's here because they're sick, but I'm here, okay? So Brother Lawrence just called me this weekend, told me to share, and he said, keep it short. So being sick, I may keep it short. but then again, me, I always have a lot to say, so I'm not sure how short it'll be. But you know, talking about living our life out for Christ. You know, just this past week, there's a brother, no, it's last week, a brother from Charity was there at the shop, and he was telling me, he said, you know, we was talking about the Lord and things we were facing, and he said, you know, just recently, he said, somebody took advantage of me. He said, they owed me $70,000, and they just laugh at me and won't pay me. And he said, God's teaching me how to love them and to forgive them, even though I've been taken advantage of. You know, that's where the real test comes in. When we're taken advantage of, do we love the way Christ loved? And that was, you know, sometimes for us, you know, I was thinking even by myself, some of us run a business, and some of them, even maybe $1,000, we think, oh man, that guy took advantage of us. But you know, God put us here, and he's going to test us to see how we respond when we get taken advantage of. See who we turn to. See we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Or see we're going to get upset because we've been taken advantage of. You know, Jesus was taken advantage of over and over again. Yet he worshiped God. He said, Father, forgive them. He had nothing but love for those that done him wrong. And you know, that was an example. And I was just thinking about that this past week. You know, this brother was like, you know, God's teaching me I need to just love him and forgive him and forget about it. He said, now this same God took advantage of me, came to me, and he wants to do another proposition with me. And I'm like, I'm not sure if I want to do another dealings with him. He just took me for $70,000. And, you know, some of those things we have to walk out. But it was just a blessing to see an older godly man, how he walked through this. An example to me. How do I walk through when I'm taking advantage of? Do I love him? Or do I have a grudge in my heart? He says, you know, as he told me, he was honest, he said, you know, I tend to have a little grudge in my heart toward him. And I just pray God would forgive me for having that grudge. He said, this $70,000 isn't going to take me under. He said, but it does hurt. You know, and I was thinking so many times, even a lot of smaller areas, we get taken advantage of maybe. But is our Christian life, in a way, you know, we can get together like this and we can worship God Sunday mornings, in our prayer meetings, maybe in our devotions, but really the test of life is, how is it every day when we go through life? Do we really live our life for Christ all the way? I was trying to think what I want to share this morning, and I had some thoughts. My children always say I preach about the same thing. I said, well, you know, it all comes out of the same place, so it probably is a little bit the same thing, you know. But anyhow, what came to me, when this life is done, each one of us, when this life is done, what is the most important thing that I want to have accomplished when this life is done? Because we have to have goals. Without goals, we'll miss where we're going. What is the most important thing that I want to have accomplished when I lay my life down? Does anybody have, there's a lot of different answers, but does anybody have any thoughts? What's the most important thing that you want to have accomplished in life? Brother Roy. Amen. That's very good. Anybody else have any thoughts? What's the most important thing? Lyndon, I'm not going to pick on you, okay? But what's the most important thing that you want to have accomplished when this life is run? When you have fought a good fight, you've finished a course, and henceforth there's laid up a crown of righteousness for you. This is kind of like a puzzle. They all link together. And you really, for the most part, there's not a wrong answer. Because there's a lot of things we want to accomplish as spiritual men of God. But you know, as I was seeking God, something came to me. You know, that, you know, whether you're a man here today or a woman or a single person, this applies to you, okay? Jesus was single, but yet he had probably one of the biggest influences in the world. So whether you're married or unmarried, it really don't matter. We can have a powerful influence wherever we're at. My thought is that we would be able to leave behind us a godly legacy. You know, sometimes I've seen godly men and I've seen godly women, but somehow, I'm not sure why, but they don't leave behind a godly legacy. That they would live such a Christian life. It says that men should behold that we can see, Brother Earl, I can see you've been with Jesus. That we can see Christ in us. And that they see, you know, our life should be attractive. Filled with the power of God. Filled with the Holy Ghost. That other people want to follow us. You know, when they see that our hearts, that our lives are filled with the fruits of the Spirit. People want to follow us. Because we are following Christ. You know, I had to think about, you know, leaving a godly legacy. You know, sometimes I think we take it too lightly. You know, probably, to do a little bit of a carnal illustration here, most of us have probably heard this thought, this arithmetic. Take a penny and double it every day for 32 days. See how many people have not done that? Took a penny and double it every day for 30 days, see where you're at. How many people have not done that? Well, we see there's quite a few people, and they might be astounded then, okay? Brother Lyndon, if you would guess, you say you didn't do it. If you take a penny and double it every day for 30 days, what's the mathematics at the end? Just take a shot at the dark. Okay. Who else didn't? Who else has never done that? Okay, Brother Nolan. Take a penny and double it every day for 32 days. Where do you think you're at? Okay. Lyndon, it's just a little over 2 million. Okay? Yeah. Okay, what I'm saying is our generations to come, my generations, you know, let's say in 100 years you have 100 years, you have, let's say, three generations, okay? And you take, in 1,000 years, you'll have 32 generations, okay? So what I'm saying is in 1,000 years from now, we know the earth has been formed, been here for 6,000 years, approximately. But if we were to live another 1,000 years, we could have, our descendants could be a couple million. And what I'm saying is, God told Abraham that, you know, he's going to bless him and his children would be like the sand of the sea. And, you know, when you think of those mathematics, it is kind of like that. And what I'm saying is, we don't have a promise for tomorrow, so I'm not promising that all you will have descendants for the next 1,000 years. But what I'm saying is, I think it's so important. The decisions that we make isn't the decision about Lawrence. It's about your generation for the next 1,000 years. We will be the father of, he told Abraham, you'll be the father of many nations. We'll be the father of maybe many generations or many nations. Only God knows. I'm just saying it could be. The earth has been here 6,000 years. And we don't know where in lifespan we're at. So I think it's so important to live a godly legacy, to leave a godly legacy, that as our children see us, as the people around us see us, that they see Christ. And you know, I think, well, How do I have a godly legacy? You know, I have been handed down quite a bit. Most of you have been handed down quite a bit. But it's so easy to squander that. By the little decisions we make in life, it's so easy to squander that. You know, you young boys here in the front, you may think, oh, I'm just young. You're talking about leaders. Wait a minute. When Jesus was how old? He was 12. He was about his father's business. And he said, wish ye not I must be about my father's business. At 12, he was about his father's business. You know, and says, what it says, the wisdom, forget how it was. I'll have to look at it somewhere. It says the wisdom, he was filled with wisdom and understanding or something of that nature. So I want to encourage you young guys, someday you'll be leaders. Maybe in leaders of many nations or family members. The influence that we have today, don't underestimate for the next generation. Too many times I think life is about myself. My life is about, you know, making money, raising a family. You know, all those things are included. But that we would truly keep our focus on Christ. That we would truly be filled with the Holy Ghost. We would truly be filled with the fire of God. That as people, as people behold us, they see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Actually, it's there in Luke 2, it talks about at the age of Jesus, as Jesus was strong, filled with the wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's what I was looking for a little bit ago. And you know, I think Brother Orrin, he had the opening last week, and he mentioned something about, you know, it don't say a whole lot about between Jesus was 12 and the time he was 30. But you know, I think if Jesus was about his father's business at the age of 12, what do you think he was doing when he was at the age of 19? What do you think? Think he was at his father's business then? He probably was. What about the age of 20? You think he was at doing his father's will? What about the age of 25? That's right. I think he was consumed with doing his father's will. You know, over and over, what blesses me about my Jesus, he says, I don't do my will. I only do my father's will. You know, and as I think about that, that has really been grinding on, I shouldn't say grinding. I've been really been pondering on that. Is that my testimony? I don't do my will. I only do my father's will. And we really have that testimony that we don't do my will. I only do the father's will. Then I believe I'm going to leave a godly legacy for my children. What I mean a godly legacy is where your children and my grandchildren say, yes, I want to follow God. Yes, like serving God is the only answer for me. That, you know, as my grandchildren look back at me, not that I would be exalted, but you know, in Hebrews, Hebrews 11 talks about the faith chapter. Many people, now we look back and we say heroes of the faith. That each one of us would be heroes of the faith. That's my heart for us. That each one of us in here would be heroes of the faith. You know, maybe you're single. You say, well, you know, I'm not going to have that many generations. But your life can influence as you teach school, as you help somebody in their house, as you... as you help in the, maybe somebody cleaning their houses, as you help other families, there's many ways we're going to be an influence for the kingdom of Christ. Even if you maybe feel, well, I'm just a young girl. Or maybe if you feel you're a young man. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're a young man, that's what Jesus was, a young man sold out to do his Father's will. Amen. You know, that's what I would like to see. Young men sold out to do the Father's will. You know, I'm sure Jesus worked at a carpenter shop, but he was sold out to do his Father's will. And I think, you know, we need to make choices that encourage that. You know, let's not get involved with things that don't really pertain to the kingdom. I know we all need to make a living, but let's, as we make a living, let's use that, those opportunities to be a witness, to be involved with our children, to direct them and point them to the cross. And Ephesians 3 is always one of my favorite scriptures. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may be rooted and grounded in love. You know, that our hearts would so truly be filled, our homes, our marriages be filled with love, that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes all understanding. Listen to the next part. That ye may be filled with the fullness of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, that each one of us be filled with the fullness of God. No more I, but Christ in everything we do, think, or say. It's like, God, I want to worship you. I want to serve you. You know, as we're going down the road, like I said, our focus is to serve and worship God. If somebody cuts us off, it's not going to irritate us. If somebody takes advantage of us, we say, God, how you want me to respond to this? And we use that opportunity to bless somebody. You know, we all have those opportunities. If somebody wrongs us, to take that and bless somebody back for that. You know, versus trying, oh, he cut me off, or he did this, or he did that. You know, that's when we can tell whether we are a Christian. It's not by we have, it's good to have your morning devotions, whether it's 15 minutes or an hour, you know. But, you know, it's a little bit like coming to church. It's good to come to church. All these things are good, but a Christian life is much more than that. It's much more. It's living it out. When we go to bed and we say, Lord, I love you, as we fall asleep. It's really having a relationship with God and say, God, you guide and direct the things I do, the things I say, the things I buy. When we meet people, you know that our hearts are filled with the love of Christ. You know that our lives, I mean, let me turn to Colossians. Well, no, in Colossians 3, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. Whatever we do in word or deed, to do it for Christ. You know, sometimes we think, well, I want to have a little me time. I want to have a little me time. Maybe we get a little me time and it gets a little selfish. I think we need to really focus on, listen, it's not about me, brother. It's about serving God in a deeper way. God, teach me how I can love you and serve you in a deeper way. Teach me how I can be an example to my children. Teach me how that my home would be filled with meekness. Not once is there an excuse for anger in the home, or bitterness, or hatefulness, but only the room in our hearts, in our home, for love. Love beyond measure. That our home would be filled, our hearts be filled with peace. I tell you what, I love to be where there's love and joy and peace. Don't you? Amen. Hey, where there's long suffering, where there's gentleness, where there's meekness, I want to be there. You know, let us create those environments. Not myself, but because we're walking with God, that's who I am. It's no more I but Christ, right? No more I but Christ. Too many times I feel I excuse myself. Well, it's just the flesh, it's just the flesh, it's just the flesh. Wait a minute. What are we to do with the flesh, brother? Crucify the flesh. Dead to self. Alive unto Christ. You know, too many times I think we excuse the flesh a bit too much. I have. Excuse the flesh a bit too much. Well, that's just the flesh. It's just the flesh. You know, we kind of get used to it. Well, that's just the flesh. Wait a minute. We need to repent from the flesh. That only Christ would be seen and glorified in my life. Yes, that only the fruits of the Spirit be manifest in our brothers' meeting, in our homes, in our relationship with my wife. That only love and joy. You know, if you only demonstrate love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness and meekness, I tell you what, there's nothing that can separate you then. You know, that's what we focus on. Nothing can separate a marriage like that. It's when self gets alive. When self gets alive. In Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We should always, we as God's people should be a rejoicing people. You know, I love to be around people that are rejoicing and are happy, people that are glorifying God. And you know, I'm just encouraging us, because I know so many times we get going through this life and we kind of think, well, life's about me. Well, it's my money, it's my choices. Wait a minute, life's not about your money and your choices. Life's about your future, about your generations to come, to leave a godly legacy. You know, by the life you live, we encourage people, our children, our grandchildren, I want what you have, brother. I want what you have. You know, I want a marriage like you have. I want a relationship like you have. I see that love. But then again, I've seen homes, sad to say, where the children say, I don't want what dad, mom, and dad got. They're just hypocrites. You know, that's not leaving a godly legacy. But, you know, that our hearts, Jesus didn't just relate good when things went well. He related good in the hardest situations you can imagine. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Even on the cross, he didn't look at them and say, you know, you're going to pay for this. You know you're doing wrong. Rather, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, this is my encouragement for us is let's seek God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that our lives would be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. That we would truly be able to leave a godly legacy. It says that people would behold your conversation and glorify your Heavenly Father. When people see you, do they glorify God? You know, I trust they do. I trust they do. But you know, I'm preaching to myself. I need to leave a godly legacy. You know, I've been given much, and like I said, there could be many nations behind, you know, many generations behind us. Then generations to come, I can be that influence. That my great-great-great-grandchildren can say, my great-great-great-grandfather was a man of God, after God's own heart. You know, people a lot of times don't remember you so much by the right you done. A lot of times you remember by the wrong what you done. And so that we would truly seek to have such a walk with God that as they observe us, that they truly glorify God. Well, I had some much more down, but I'm not feeling real well. I think I'm just going to keep it by that. That we would truly be able to use our lives to glorify God. You know, like I said, our legacy, we don't know how long our legacy will be. But you know, in 1,000 years from now, our legacy could be 2 million. And it could be more than that. That we are that godly example of this is who God is. You know, our children want to see that. They want to see who God is. People say, a lot of times, you've heard it a lot of times, I look at my father and I say, well, if God is like that, then I don't want to be like that. Or if God is like that, I want to be like that. So I'm just encouraging each one of us. You know, and some of us, most of us have fallen. We all have fallen. But you know, a godly man, it's nothing wrong with him. A godly man falls. But he gets back up and he shakes off the dust. He says, God, give me strength. Give me courage. Give me that to be all that you want me to be. And you know, your children have seen you fall. My children have seen me fall. But you know, it's not that you can't fall. It's that you know that you are filled with the grace and power of God. And you get back up and you keep going forward. And you give it all you got. Give it all you got. When you lay your life down, all the things of this earth be left behind. And only that which is done for Christ will last. So young people, I want to encourage you. Things you know, sometimes you know, you hear young people say, oh, I want to sow my wild oats. Listen, wild oats has a lot of seed in wild oats. And I haven't seen any good fruit come out of wild oats either. In your young years, like Jesus did, seek to do your Father's will. You know, if you would commit, I'm only going to do my Father's will. I ain't going to do anything myself. I'm going to pray and ask God to only do His will. And I believe you'd be surprised how much each one of us would grow and prosper and bloom. So as we make decisions, let's truly glorify God through the decisions that we make. Amen. That we may truly have a godly legacy. You know, whether it's, you know, we don't know when the God calls us home. Maybe we won't have maybe, you know, we were to die now. Maybe we won't. Some of you wouldn't have a legacy because you don't have any children. But you know, then there's exceptions to every rule. But what I'm saying is, as life continues on, probably down the road, most of us will have a large legacy. That our legacy would glorify and exalt God. You know, and you look in the Old Testament, a lot of times it says the kings have done evil, and a lot of times it says, and their sons did evil, more evil, and then their sons did more evil. We see that. You know, it's because of the influence of the father. And sometimes you see where a king was good, and then that king's son took over, and the next king was good and served God with all his heart. So I guess my encouragement is, so many times we think, oh, this little decision don't matter. It's just about me, you know. It does matter. It's about your future. It's about your children's children's children. So the decisions we make, let's use everyone to glorify and exalt God. Let's pray. Father, we're just thankful that you're here with us this morning. We need your presence just to continue to guide us and lead us. Lord, we don't know what the future holds. We don't even know what tomorrow holds. But yet, Lord, you know what it holds in 1,000 years from now. Father, just each one of us in this room want to raise up a godly seed for you. So, Father, we pray for our seed. We pray for our each one of us that we would have such a walk with you, Lord, that we only do the Father's will. Lord, we ourselves, we don't make any excuses for sin, the flesh, the self. But, Lord, we say, God, you guide me and lead me. As we go through the week, as things we do, Lord, when we're taken advantage of, whatever happens, Lord, we would use it to glorify and exalt your name. Father, we know no situation is so great that we can't rejoice and glorify your name in the midst of it. So help us to be a church here at Joy that rejoices and gives you the honor and glory. Yes, Lord, we do pray you would just continue to speak to us. And Lord, that we would, as men would leave a legacy for our children and our children's children, a godly legacy. Lord, that our homes would be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. Our personal lives would be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. And Father, we pray you would root those things out that may have slipped in that shouldn't be there. That only Christ would be seen in our lives. That you would be truly glorified. That people can see we've been with you, Lord. That's what we want, someday to be with you through all eternity. But Lord, we want to be with you now too. We see but through a glass darkly, but someday face to face. Oh Lord, what a day that will be when our Jesus we will see, when you take us by the hand and you lead us through the promised land. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.